This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
An analysis by CME Group says the La Niña weather phenomenon may be coming back for real this time after a head fake last year. La Niña is associated with cooler, wetter conditions along the U.S.-Canadian border, warmer, drier conditions in much of the southern U.S., and it impacts weather patterns worldwide. CME Group senior economist Eric Norland says past La Niñas have roiled ag markets, sending prices on wild rides often lower amid exceptionally high levels of volatility. Research shows cooler than normal water is pooling along the equator on the Americas side of the Pacific Ocean. One potentially worrisome feature of ag markets today, Norland writes, is that corn, wheat, and soy complex options implied volatilities are trading at or near record lows. He says this might mean that markets are woefully unprepared for a potential La Niña that would bring a wave of volatility. Since 1959, the world has experienced 8 significant episodes of La Niña and 12 significant episodes of La Niño, a warming of currents. In other news, the Department of Ag announced this week that more than $9.6 billion in payments will be made through farm safety net programs. USDA started sending out the payments this week as part of the Ag Risk Coverage, Price Loss Coverage, and Conservation Reserve programs. USDA is issuing approximately $8 billion in payments under the ARC and PLC programs for the 2016 crop year and $1.6 billion under CRP for 2017. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says many of the payments will be made to landowners and producers that have recently been ravaged by drought, wildfires, and deadly hurricanes. More than 500,000 farmers will receive ARC payments, and more than 250,000 will receive PLC payments. As harvest continues, we have yet another local report this week. Tuesday, I spent the afternoon with Heath Houck of Montgomery County. Heath was shelling corn in a field near Witt and said he's already finished with soybeans, but still has several acres of corn left to go.
We just finished up Saturday there, had a pretty good run at it. With no rain, we were able to get quite a bit done in a short amount of time. Beans were good. Beans seemed to be above average. Moisture-wise, they tended to get pretty dry pretty quick there. Of course, we hadn't had any rain. The hot weather really brought them on a lot quicker than we kind of anticipated. And this will be the first time, I think, ever that we have ever cut all the beans before we've shelled any corn. Beans seem to cut a little tough. I've heard that from a lot of friends and fellow farmers around the area that they were a little green-stemmed, but the beans were definitely dry on the inside. So all in all, it was good. We got everything in the bin, and now we're on to corn.
Do you think you were surprised by yields and quality of the soybeans? I know there were a lot of mixed feelings throughout the growing season because, as you know, it started out wet and then it went dry. And as you said, that dried things down pretty quick. But overall, the outcome, were you surprised or was it what you expected?
I'm going to say I was surprised. I thought that the beans would do well. I didn't know we had a lot of different stresses this year. It seemed like it was from one extreme to the next. It was too wet, and then it was too dry, and then it was too wet, and then it was too dry. And so I think we did, the beans did really well. I'm not going to complain at all. I think it did hurt some of them, this late dry weather. Some of them seemed to have died prematurely just because of the lack of moisture. A lot of leaves on the plant just seemed like they just died. But they were, like I said, they were good yield. We can't complain about that.
Sounds good. Talking about corn now, you've got several corn acres left to harvest. So far, what do you think of conditions, crop conditions, quality of the grain and yields and everything like that?
So far, we're on some of the lighter soil that we have right now. We're in the first field. We just started today. So we've got, I think, almost 40 acres under our belt here. And so far, I'm pleased with it. This field that we're in right now is corn on corn. And for the stress that it took throughout the season, and we had, we planted everything early in April and then ended up replanting 100% of our acres again in May. So I was kind of anxious to get in here and see the corn because I was wondering how it took the stress. We caught some of them late rains. I don't have any April corn to compare it to, so I can't really make that comparison. But so far, I'm pleased. It's doing better than I thought it would do.
Well, sounds good. Great that things have turned out well after all those replants that you had to deal with and that crazy weather early on in the growing season. Talking about the equipment that you use for harvest, I thought this would be kind of a fun question to start asking farmers, so we'll say that you're my first victim. But it's not a hard question. Just talk about the equipment that you use, what color, and maybe why. Why, and do you like how it operates, and how have things been going with the equipment?
Yeah, we're going to get the red and green war going here is what you're trying to do. We run a red combine we have for basically since the early 90s. I mean, it's just something I'm used to red. We've run it forever. And I think that's basically what it boils down to, what you're used to. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the deer combine. I like the rotor in the red combine. That's what helps the thresh. I think it does a better job, probably the best in the industry as far as that goes. And that's my personal opinion. I know the John Deere, the Deere does have a rotor now and everything. But I mean, as far as that goes, we run a red combine. We run a draper to cut beans with, which is basically the head that cuts beans. It doesn't have an auger in it. It's got belts. It tends to be a little bit easier on the beans. It just lays the beans back on the belt and then runs them in. That's what we run there. And then we've got guidance as far as on the combine for cutting beans, auto steer set up. But other than that, I mean, we're just like everybody else.
And as far as hauling the grain, once you combine it, put in a grain cart, then do you use semis, tractor, and a grain cart all that way? And then are you storing at home or taking it to an elevator?
We'll store most of ours. We run it out of the grain cart into a semi, run a couple semis back and forth. We run it home to the dryer set up there. We're drying this corn. It's running about 20%. We're running it through the dryer, and we'll store mostly everything we've got. Depending on what the yield is, we'll see where we're at from that point.
And obviously this isn't a single man operation. You're driving the combine, but I think your mom's here helping and your dad also helps out too.
Yep. Dad runs the trucks now. He wants to do that. And mom's in the grain cart, and she's also, we got to give props to her. She's also the chef, so can't be mean to her. She won't make us, we'll just get bread and water for lunch. So, got the kids coming out. Rachel does help as well, my wife, and then the five kids, they come out on the weekends, and we get a few training sessions in on driving the equipment around. Everybody wants to drive the combine, so there's usually a line for that.
And once again, that report comes to us from Heath Houck of Nokomis. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.